this before. Nothing they had could stop it. The British designed, British built Centurion. Tearing up the steepest hills, this heavy metal monster seemed to defy gravity. More than 60 years later, the Cold War superstar is still a contender.
No other tank has fought in such diverse campaigns for quite so long.
Or inspired today's greatest battle tank.
Oh, here we go, another one. Ah!
On opposite sides of the Atlantic, from England to Canada, two tank crews are working to bring their Centurions back to full working order.
Going.
A shower of sparks.
But they're in for a long, tough tank overhaul.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
A series of diagrams of tank components are labeled rapidly. Tank overhaul. The Centurion. It's raining.
April in England.
A muddy puddle, then a huge hangar-like building.
One of the most experienced tank crews in the world is getting ready to rebuild a legend.
Now what do we do now? Push more into it and turn it back the other way, or...?
We need to get it ready to go inside because the weather forecast for the next few days is not good, and we would need to work inside rather than outside in the elements because it's ever so cold today, and it might even be wet as well. But that's England.
Vic Chiverston.
This is the Imperial War Museum, Duxford, about 80 kilometers from London. They rescue works of military art from oblivion.
Greg Mordecai.
Anyone can open a museum and a hut and put the vehicles in and display them, but there's not many museums that are actively driving and displaying their vehicles.
Today, they start work on one of their toughest missions. A Centurion tank, one of the first 30 ever produced.
It was part of a production batch which was ordered actually in July 1944 and married the Centurion chassis and turret with the 20-pounder gun for the first time. And became the Mark III.
Retired from active service in the late 1960s, she is a rare find.
It's only ever had its machine guns changed. Most of the other Centurions that stayed in service had extra armour added, an extra 2 inches of armour added onto the front plate. They had the rear turret hatch changed, the breech was changed, the tank was upgunned.
This tank is the biggest restoration we've done for possibly 12 to 15 years.
They already have a number of Centurions in their collection. Some are static, some are in full running order. But this restoration is significant. It will give the museum its very first working Mark III. Designed during the Second World War, it arrived too late for combat, but went on to provide excellent service during the Korean War.
Very few, if any, of the tanks that fought in that conflict have survived in their original configuration. We thought it important that we had at least one to show what the vehicle would have been like when it was fighting in its very first combat.
A 3D computer image of a Centurion tank in a city setting.
The Centurion wasn't a static design. Unlike other tanks, it could be upgraded, up-armored, and up-gunned. Major upgrades resulted in a new Mark number. By the early 1960s, this chameleon tank had been assigned 13 different Mark numbers.
Before we do the gun, that needs to be sorted out as one job. We also need to look at the wings, the thin metal work, track guards. They all need to be photographed, recorded, and then taken off.
If I can get out that way, that'd be better, because I'll just go round the hill and come up the hill.
This is no weekend assignment. It's not even a summer job. This tank is in terrible shape. There's so much to do. The crew is going to need years to bring it back to life.
Very badly corroded.
We can all do a 3-month restoration blowover job with paint, but that's not my interpretation of restoration. My interpretation of restoration is back to bare metal, start again.
The team at work on the tank, then clouds scudding across rolling green hills in speeded up time.
Just getting started requires serious muscle, planning, and manpower.
A tank is maneuvered up a dusty incline.
It takes a tank to move a tank. A Centurion armored recovery vehicle is brought in.
Right, you lift it.
Yeah.
That's about 50-odd, 60 kilos, maybe more.
The Centurion is over 7.5 meters long. It weighs about 52 metric tons, roughly the weight of 40 family-sized cars. Its 650-horsepower Rolls-Royce engine is capable of producing a top speed of roughly 40 kilometers or 24 miles per hour. But for now, she's going nowhere.
What we're doing at the moment is connecting the holly bone, in layman's terms, the tow bar. This is the safest way of maneuvering one vehicle from the other.
Even on an icy cold morning, Roger Barney Barnett prefers to use bare hands on frigid metal. Gloves just get in the way.
I don't like working with them. Simple as that. They get cold. You can't feel what you're doing. You can't see what you're doing. I just don't like them. Fingers always grow again. Even that one, that's growing again.
We do this all the time, but we don't do it every week, as you can imagine.
They're only moving the Centurion a few hundred yards. But this experienced crew takes no shortcuts. It's too easy to get injured.
You tell me what we're doing and then I'll do it.
The recovery vehicle is slowly reversed towards the Centurion.
The Duxford Centurion is being restored by a volunteer crew that is second to none. Brian Hayden has been with the museum for over 30 years. Greg Mordecai owns 6 of his own military vehicles.
Military vehicle enthusiast.
God, I'm getting too old for this.
Paul Lambert is a former mechanic and engineer with the Royal Air Force. Barney Barnett is an ex-Army mechanic who worked on Centurions back in the 60s and 70s.
Broken tank is a challenge. I haven't been beaten by one yet.
She spent 20 years in active service and was upgraded to a Mark V during the mid-1950s. Retired from active duty, she served as a gate guard at a firing range. In the early 1980s, she was brought to Duxford, where she sat exposed to the elements.
So basically, we're restoring a vehicle that hasn't done anything for 20, 25 years. So we were expecting it to be a really big job.
We're going backwards first.
Finally, after 3 decades in the wilderness, the Centurion is pushed and pulled into her work bay.
And I still lovingly remember the first Centurion I got dropped off to fix. I got chucked out the back of a Land Rover with my gun and my toolbox, and there was a Centurion beside the roads, Scots Greys, and it didn't go. I got it going, and that was a real buzz.
Everyone here knows they're about to work on arguably the greatest British tank of the Cold War era and one of the best designed tanks of all time.
Archive footage of tanks in a bombed city.
For the British Army, building the Centurion was an act of survival.
The Centurion was needed principally because the British came up against the Panther tank in Italy in 1943, and they had absolutely nothing that they could combat the Panther tank with.
To match the German Panther, the British needed a universal tank built on the iron triangle of speed, armor, and firepower. This holy trinity is the foundation of every great tank.
It's the best combination of firepower, maneuverability, and protection that the British armor had.
And the Centurion incorporated other innovations that made it a much safer tank. Instead of using hydraulic lines, which were highly flammable if hit in battle, the turret was powered electrically. As well, Centurion designers decided not to store the ammo in the turret. Instead, it was stored below the exposed turret in the tank's hull.
And so the chances of it being penetrated in battle was considerably diminished.
With all its innovations, the Centurion was a quantum leap forward for British tanks.
There's no two ways about it. If one compared the Centurion in 1945, when it actually came into service, with the Panther, which came into service in 1943, they were roughly comparable.
But the Centurion never went into battle facing German tanks.
It arrived in Germany in May 1945, virtually the day after the German capitulation.
The Centurion made up for missing World War II by lasting longer than all her rivals.
It's good to see that it was still being used in the Gulf War in 91.
It's still used to this day as a frontline tank in South Africa.
But the British have never been ones to sit back on their successes. They constantly strive to improve and remain a dominant military force.
The fact that all tanks in the British Army begin with the letter C, the Chieftain, the Challenger 1 and the Challenger 2, shows the evolutionary nature of the way tank design works in this country.
Building on this foundation of the Centurion's excellence is Britain's current main battle tank, the daunting Challenger 2.
I command BATIS, which is the British Army training unit in Suffield, in Canada. It's the only place in the world we can come and fire all of our armored vehicles in an integrated, sort of combined way.
The ferocious Challenger 2 is Britain's main battle tank, 62 metric tons of rolling thunder. Powered by a Rolls-Royce V12 turbocharged diesel engine, it can reach almost 60 kilometers or 40 miles an hour. Boasting a 120-millimeter gun, the Challenger can obliterate targets at over 5 kilometers or 3 miles away.
Firing range maneuvers.
Like the Centurion, this was built to be a universal tank. Some of its design features, the side skirts, the cast hull and turret, are also inspired by the Centurion.
It has outstanding firepower. Its armor protection is without parallel in the world.
Simon Dunstan, historian. Commander Edwards, BATIS.
I was commanding a battle group in Iraq 2 years ago now, and it absolutely not only saved lives in my battle group, but gave us the edge in that when people did try to get at us, we could hold our ground, work out what we wanted to do, and then take the initiative again, as opposed to having to become reactive from the very word go.
Every modern British tank owes a huge debt to what is perhaps the greatest British tank of all time, the Centurion.
A Centurion rolls into the Duxford team's workshop.
Back in Duxford, the crew launched their three-year odyssey of restoring their tank back into a Mark III designation.
Oh, we must be getting somewhere. How are we doing, Brian? Are we getting
halfway along?
Good. Joining the dots.
There you go.
Right, at the moment then, we're stripping down the tin work, the outriggers, the wings, the bins, the exhaust, prior to removing the rust, removing the paint, washing it down, and assessing the size of the problem to come. For what's left, we can always stand it up. We can bend it up and work around it, can't we? Straight out and on the floor. That's it.
Removing the tin work is just the beginning of a serious top-to-bottom tank overhaul.
A snow-covered rural location.
Oshawa, Ontario. It's 20 degrees below zero. In Canada, tank crews get to play in the snow.
A freshly painted tank plows through mounds of snow and skids around on icy roads.
But this is no private playground. It's the Museum of the Royal Canadian Armored Corps Ontario Regiment. Like the Duxford crew, they are also working on a Centurion tank. Their tank is a Mark V-2 designation.
Restoring a tank is like eating an elephant. You do it one bite at a time.
Located in the industrial town of Oshawa, the museum has a modest collection of 8 tanks and 40 other vehicles. Frozen but unstoppable, the crew of volunteers are totally dedicated. Brian Butt works shifts as a foreman at a nuclear power station. Scott Boyd is a bricklayer, volunteer firefighter, and Brian's brother-in-law. Any chance they get, they are here moving mountains of steel, wire, and rust.
Well, we've got a Centurion built about 1952, and I've essentially have a puzzle box with no picture, and this is what I have to finish and restore and fix up. But I'll have to tear it down to pretty well almost right down to its bare hull if we can. Our biggest concern, though, is we can't take off the turret just because we don't have the facilities for it.
The job at Oshawa is just as big as the overhaul in Duxford. But this crew has to tackle it with a much smaller toolbox.
Hey, let's go.
The museum actually owns two Centurions. This gate guard is beyond salvage and is being used as a parts donor. The real museum piece is buried in snow out back, waiting for spring.
One, two, three.
There.
How long has this thing been sitting here?
Driven into place about 20 years ago.
I believe it.
A chain's attached to a forklift truck.
Coming. Gentle. Holy moly.
What we're hoping to get out of here is a pair of radiators, but trying to figure out how to get the radiators out is a royal nightmare.
Uh-oh. We're getting stuck.
Main designs on the Centurion was they had to be so heavy, had to have such an armament, had to go so fast, but they never thought of the poor bugger's got to work on it.
Glimpses of tools being put to use and a journey through the country.
Back in Duxford, the crew hauls out their Centurion for a full physical. They need all the room they can get. A big part of every overhaul is just figuring out what shape the tank is in. The crew begins by inspecting the engine.
It had the classic Meteor engine, which was based on the Merlin engine used in the Spitfire, the Hurricane, and the Lancaster bombers of World War II.
The Centurion is gas-powered with two internal fuel tanks on either side of the engine. It has an automatic transmission with five forward and two reverse gears, and its power-to-weight ratio is 13 horsepower per ton.
Sometimes they come up easy, sometimes they don't. Ready?
Ready.
No. Two. Three. Oh, that's easier. It's a lot easier.
We're just inspecting the gearbox now to see if there's anything we need to take off, and we found that all the linkages have been disconnected, the drive shaft has been pulled out, and the actual gearbox is free. It turns.
A beachhead bunker.
June 1950. The Cold War erupted. North Korea invaded South Korea. To hold back the communists, the United States rallied an international force at the United Nations. Fighting alongside Canada, India, Turkey, Greece, and other countries was Great Britain. Her tank of choice was the Centurion Mark III.
The first time it saw action was in 1950 during the Korean War, in a theater of operations completely different for which it was designed for. But the Centurion proved that it was a remarkable tank in such conditions.
With its hills, mountain ranges, and paddy fields, Korea was not ideal tank territory. But this tank couldn't have cared less.
Its ability to climb hills was phenomenal.
The Centurion could get up a steeper slope than any of the American vehicles there, and the Americans actually prized having the British armored regiments nearby because they could basically get the Centurions on top of these very high hills to dominate the battlefield.
The Chinese lived in fear of this tank.
The Centurion's superb mobility was backed up by a ferocious gun and first-class armor. This triple threat was a perfect example of the Iron Triangle, essential to any great tank.
A road journey ending at the Duxford workshop.
The Duxford mission is not just about making a clean, pretty display. Everyone here is a serious historian. They want a specific tank that is historically accurate.
It looks complete, yes. Yeah.
People are gathered to watch tanks in action.
The tanks are put to the test every June during Tank Fest, when they parade their collection in front of military buffs and historians. You don't get world-class recognition without it.
Oh dear. I don't like the look of those radiators.
The Duxford crew has set itself an ambitious target. They want to restore their beat-up Centurion to its original Mark III configuration. This will make it the museum's first working Mark III, the tank that set the standard for British armament for years to come. The team is looking for clues to make it perfect. Paul Lambert has gone into the hull looking for any records of past engine work. He finds the holder vehicle literature container to the left of the driver's seat, right where it's supposed to be.
All the way right. Down.
What you got?
Moment of truth, then.
A piece of paper.
Open as a range.
Oh, yes, and it's there. All the engine's record data, look. Overhauls and modifications. Just the job.
OK, you got it? Yeah, fingers, and we're...
These notes contain precious clues about how the engine has been reconfigured.
Duxford.
Has it got any age plates on it? Any mark numbers on it?
Salvaged from an army shooting range, this Centurion is being overhauled back to its Mark III designation.
Well, to get the Mark III back to a Korean War standard of that period, you're talking to about 7,000 to 8,000 man hours to restore this vehicle. I would say, on average, 2 to 3 years of hard graft to restore that vehicle to running condition.
Today, the crew will swap guns so their Centurion gets the right gun to be a Mark III.
Haven't you ever seen that?
It came out nicely there, didn't it? Wiggling a fiddle, plenty of grease on it. Whoever last put it in obviously greased it thoroughly.
In its current configuration, the Centurion has an L7 105mm gun. This was the standard Centurion Mark V armament in the 1960s. To be an accurate Mark III from the early 1950s, their Centurion needs to be fitted with the earlier 20-pounder gun.
We haven't done a barrel change here ever in the 22 years I've been here. We haven't done anything as deep as that before. Quite a lot of research went into that.
Luckily, the museum locates a 20-pounder gun in their collection. The first gun comes out without much of a struggle. The 20-pounder is a tougher fight.
Yeah, I told you to do it wrong. Keep going. The plan is now, because we haven't got the weight of the tank and the turret on this mounting frame, we're going to relift the mounting frame back towards the crane vehicle and then lash the framework to the vehicle. And we'll see how we go.
Give it a try?
Yeah, go on, Ed.
After sitting on the mantlet for 20 years, the gun refuses to come out. But this crew has seen this kind of resistance before. It just makes them dig in deeper.
Ah! Mommy finger!
The barrel rotates.
There you are! We're there now! I told ya!
A crane attempts to pull out the gun.
Don't move. Yes, that's moving. That's it. Right, we're off the threads.
Now watch the swing.
The gun slides out of the frame.
Half past two, we started this. What's the time now? Half past four, 2 hours. That ain't bad for getting a gun barrel, 2 hours. Quality engineering.
With the 20-pounder almost in place on their Centurion, the crew is about to add a critical piece of their Mark III jigsaw puzzle. But there's still so much more they need to nail down.
What I have no knowledge whatsoever of is Korean local modification
again,
instructions.
We need to talk to the veterans about that.
They've
got representatives from both of the main tank regiments in Korea coming on Thursday.
Seeking first-hand knowledge on the Centurion, the Duxford crew is lucky there are still people around who know this tank better than they do.
Looks actually quite brilliant.
Oh, yes, yes.
Jack Ma, Kenneth Jones, Michael Swindells, Christopher Coldry. All four served in Korea, armed with the Centurion and its superb gun.
And this was this brand-new magic tank. They were wonderful. The gun always pointed in the right direction, for example, with a thing called a stabilizer, so that as you went round, the gun stayed pointing in that direction, which was very clever of it, we thought.
In the fall of 1950, Communist China joined the battle to support North Korea against the United Nations force. Chinese troops literally flooded the battlefield.
And these Swarms, like bees, like a swarm of bees were coming, however many they killed, however many they wounded, how many withdrew, more and more and more came again.
At times, the tanks were completely covered with infantry trying to get inside the tank, putting sticky bombs on the side to destroy them. And so the other tanks had to shoot them off the banks of their supporting tanks.
Oh, they were very brave.
Yeah.
You know, they were bloody brave.
The Korean War bogged down into a deadly stalemate with two sides staring at each other across hostile front lines.
We had the rather extraordinary situation where Centurion tanks were perched on top of hills, dominating the surrounding terrain, whereby they dominated Chinese positions.
This is where communist forces confronted the terrifying accuracy of the Centurion's gun.
The gun control equipment was of such a standard, I could put 20-pounder rounds down, and the Australians I was with would have the confidence of knowing that I could put a round down within 20 yards of where they were.
It could take out little slits, observation plates, at up to a mile. It was a remarkably accurate weapon.
The crane lowers a gun barrel onto the ground.
With a 105-millimeter gun off their tank, the crew prepares to install the Korean War era Mark III gun.
They're exactly the same 19 grooves on both guns, so we'll check that. And the location ring, exactly the same.
The crane is used to position the 20-pounder in front of the turret.
Ready, Barney? Rotate. That felt good. Rotate. Stop. Bring it in. Very good. I think the pin has gone fully home. Now rotate the barrel 45 degrees.
Done it. How's that, Barney?
British engineering still holds up. The gun fits like a glove.
It went in obviously as well as it ever did 40 years ago. It went in a lot easier than it came out. We're now back to what I believe would have been the original pattern, the A-type 20-pounder gun, as would have been fitted to the Mark III when it rolled out of the factory in 1949.
When you're restoring a tank from the Korean War, it helps to have spare parts. No one makes them anymore.
In theory, we have a complete Centurion in bits, apart from the hull and the running gear.
But not every tank crew has a warehouse of parts like the boys at Duxford.
Luckily, we have another Centurion parked out front of the museum that we can open up and scavenge parts from. And hopefully we don't have the same broken parts on it. So it's more of a case of salvage what you can, refurbish what you can, and if you can't, well, we have to do without or find some other way of some other museum that's desperate to get rid of Centurion parts.
Yeah, we need some extra weight on that to pull it back.
Now, unfortunately, it's got nothing inside it, so it's pretty well gutted except for a drivetrain and a driver's seat, which means we can use it for pretty well the parts we can.
In search of missing parts and possible treasures, Brian and Scott spend a Saturday afternoon in the small town of Acton at the Royal Canadian Legion Hall.
Tank memorabilia.
What's it going on? $25 for?
I don't know. It says 25. I thought that was 25 feet.
The big thing is to find whatever, mainly bits and pieces, like being a Centurion, parts are so specific, it's almost impossible to get something specific to a Centurion.
But every now and then, Brian's refusal to quit wins out.
Hey, Scott, I know that'll work out for 42 set of one of our radios.
Yep.
For the correct radio for the Centurion. And the thing's brand new. Like, wow. The whole idea is you have around your mouth when you're talking, and you're just keying the microphone by pushing the button. Which I'm assuming that's a button because I've never used one of these before. And to find one of these old things, not covered in dust, and brand new, it's still the grease paper on it. It's like, you almost want to just keep it bundled up and sell it on eBay like one of those Star Wars action figures. Still in original packaging.
Like every great tank, the Centurion was built to win. With speed, firepower, and armor. During the Korean War, its solid hull was literally a lifesaver.
Day in, day out, the Chinese would try and destroy these tanks with artillery. Often direct fire weapons, 85mm anti-tank gun, or 122mm howitzers.
No matter what the Chinese threw at them, the Centurion never fell apart.
No tank was knocked out either by direct fire weapons or by artillery. They got hit many times, no doubt about it. And this caused severe damage to the exterior bins, to the optics, to the radio aerials, things like that.
Prisoners of war.
And the Centurion designers ensured that even under fire, British tank crews had access to an ancient weapon essential to British victories.
Each Centurion had a boiling vessel, as it was called, and we could make hot tea inside the tank. Now, if you're in the tank all night, which we often were when these patrols were out, you did keep warm.
July 1953. The UN forces held back the invading communist troops.
Black and white footage of soldiers in battle and prisoners of war.
After 3 years of fighting, an armistice was signed.
In the end, peace talks did come to a fruitful conclusion. Never a total peace, but a ceasefire anyway, and a demarcation line between North and South Korea, which exists to this day.
After Korea, the Centurion became an international hero.
Having proved itself so well in combat, the Centurion tank was purchased by several countries within NATO. Holland, Denmark, a variety of others. In fact, it became virtually the standard NATO battle tank.
In Korea, the Centurion saved the British Army. In the Middle East, it would save an entire nation.
Tanks in battle.
October 1973, Egypt and Syria invaded Israel. In the Golan Heights, the Syrians fielded about 1,500 tanks. The Israelis had 177, most of them Centurions.
And for the first 36 hours, these were the only thing that stood between Israel and defeat.
At first caught off guard, the Israeli army mounted a ferocious counterattack and pushed back the Syrian assault.
In fact, one can state categorically that those 177 tanks, those Centurion tanks, saved the nation of Israel from destruction.
Even to civilians, the Centurion became a legend.
After the October War of 1973, when soldiers were inducted into the Israeli Armored Corps, their mothers stipulated that they wanted them only to fight in Centurion units because they thought their chances of survival were much greater.
Sparks in a workshop.
After working on the exterior tin work and replacing the gun, Roger and Brian start working on the Centurion's engine. Today, they are working on the gearbox.
Come on, old girl. Come on.
So you can tell by Brian's colour that he's actually had a damn good struggle down the hole there.
It's just a bit of brute force that you need, but trouble is you can't actually get in there to apply the brute force. It's arm's length when you're laying on top of this monstrous piece of machinery.
The transmission side of the vehicle, the gearbox, has now been removed. When that's out, you can see the condition of the brakes on the drive sprocket side. They'll need to be done. They may need to be replaced yet. We haven't assessed that yet.
Every step has to get this tank back to the ultimate goal, the museum's very first working Mark III designation. It won't be ready for this year's Tank Fest or even next year, but it's such a rare creature, they'll take as long as the job needs. Far away from Duxford, the Oshawa volunteers are hammering away on their massive tank overhaul.
This is the fourth day of being here for probably 6 to 8 hours a day.
Frank Moore is working on the Centurion's auxiliary engine.
It's far more practical if the tank is sitting in a station, per se, overseeing an area, that type of thing, that they would run this little engine here to get all their electric power for radios and the fighting compartment and interior lighting and anything else that they would have to have. The main battery feed wire up to the start control panel was missing. The ignition coil was plugged into the wrong terminal over here. Had to pull the carburetor all apart, clean it all out because it had dried out 20 years ago.
Here is where brains and expertise make up for no money and not enough time.
Hey, we got power. It might start. Hey, it's running. Hey, there she goes. Hey, the governor just cut in. Quick, get the boiling vessel and we'll make tea. And that's the light that tells you when tea is ready. But not bad for sitting, not running for 20 plus years. Gee, it even idles. Isn't this nice?
Switching it off, Frank applauds.
Hey!
Okay, let's go for a beer.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
This is a major step forward, getting this, because we can install this in the tank, hook up the rest of the cooling system without the main engine being in, as long as we seal off those pipes, and we can run all the electrical system to troubleshoot our electrical system. But this is a really good day today.
The Centurion, a main battle tank for Britain, was a key part of the NATO arsenal. Over 4,400 were produced and sold around the world between 1946 and 1962. With 13 marked designations, it was so adaptable and far ahead of its time, it is still in action today.
This is a design which is absolutely remarkable after 60 years in service to be still in frontline service.
Springtime in Oshawa. This Canadian crew finally gets to work on restoring their Centurion Mark V-2.
The Mark V is washed down with a water hose.
John Allison is a heavy equipment mechanic. He's been volunteering at the museum for 2 years. The crew gets down to business in the engine bay.
Right now we're using a dime.
You want to check those?
Brian is anxious to test his swap meet finds.
Just to see if the stuff we got in Acton was going to be usable at all. The original issues we run into for the Centurion is there's so many different marks. The manuals we have for the Mark 1, 2, 3, 4. This one's supposed to be a Mark 5/2. So wire's been tacked in here, tacked in there. You end up with all kinds of modifications. Right now we're kind of semi-guessing.
With the wiring sorted out, Brian's crew goes back to the donor Centurion to salvage some parts.
Where's the, I've been trying to get the transmission out now for about 3 months, so progress is slow. This one hasn't moved in about 20 years, so what we've got is a lot of seized nuts, bolts. None of the moving parts have been moving for 20 years.
A former mechanic with the Canadian Forces, Bruce Wyatt joins in to help out.
It doesn't want to move. I'm reefing on those bolts pretty hard. I don't want to strip the threads or snap them off.
Well, if you come back next winter, we should have at least 6 bolts out. And if we're doing good, we might even have 12. But we're not going to push our luck.
These guys aren't in it for the money or the glory. Their reward lies far off in the next decade.
Maybe you can subtitle this The Never-Ending Tank Story.
A road journey.
It's a wonder that these tank crews remain so dedicated, but there is a payoff. Once at the controls, they never forgot what it was like to drive one. Phil Eldridge is one of the leading volunteers at Duxford. In the 1970s, he served with the British Army, taking care of and driving a Centurion Mark 12, the last gun-armed Centurion left in service with the British Army. It was a match made in heaven. Phil thought that his love affair with his Centurion had to end when it was retired from active duty.
The last time I saw the tank in Germany was 1978, when I loaded onto a tank transporter.
Phil and his Centurion were separated for 12 long years. Then one day, he paid his first visit to the Imperial War Museum, Duxford. In the Land Warfare Hall, he found himself face to face with a Centurion Mark 12.
And the number plate seemed sort of familiar to me, 84BA91. Came back home, got my photos out, and it's the same tank. And I don't know what the feeling was. It was fantastic, I suppose, to see it here. One of my stepfather said to me, he said, when you drive your tank, he said, is it better than six?
At Duxford, every volunteer understands and shares that passion.
You get a rush driving anything. Even though you spend 9 months, maybe 8 to 9 months a year restoring the vehicles, even if you only spent 15 minutes a year driving, that's worth those 9 months of hard graft, all weathers, restoring vehicles. I own six of my own vehicles, of various tracked and wheeled versions, and a motorbike.
Unlike the other volunteers, Greg Mordecai doesn't wait for Tankfest once a year. He can drive his dream vehicles anytime he wants.
I always have to have a commander with me because I can't see all round the vehicle. And he can identify exactly what's happening in the road conditions, who's behind me, who's to the side of me.
Now, we'll move over to the left now, and it's still clear. Still clear. Clear.
The tank turns into a petrol station.
And again. 3 feet. And stop.
Greg fills up the tank.
£400 to put in this. More than that now. It's classical, really, upon reaching the cash desk to pay for the unit. £450 later. We were chuckling away.
I bet mine's a bird pull.
I even take it shopping to the local supermarket, get me bread and milk and butter and water. That's all I can afford nowadays while running this thing.
It's a wrap.
The tank gets back on the road. At night, a metal sander sends sparks flaring into the air.
All winter long, the volunteers work quietly behind the scenes on the museum's other Centurion, moving it back to its original Mark III configuration.
Great tradition here at the Duxford Military Vehicle Day.
But then, for a few days in June, they step into the spotlight and share their collection with the world.
A collection of military vehicles.
Well, a very good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Imperial War Museum, Duxford, for the Military Vehicle Day.
This is Tankfest.
John Delaney, curator.
And the armour that we'll have on display on the day will have probably 20, 25 main battle tanks running around, including a Mark 12 Centurion, an ARV Centurion, and the Mark 3 will be on display. It'll be very noisy, lots of diesel fumes.
Vic Chiverston, tank restorer.
It attracts an awful lot of public visitors, and we usually get between 4,000 and 5,000, which makes it a super day.
Radio-controlled miniature tanks, complete with moving crews.
We've had to get some vehicles out of the museum. Some of the rarer ones we have here, the M40 self-propelled gun, the Conqueror British tank from the 50s, which is almost the only one running in the UK now.
There's almost nowhere else in the world you can see this many operational armored vehicles on display. Amongst this collection of heavy metal, the Centurion is front and center.
A Centurion performs maneuvers in the mud in front of a watching crowd.
Once Tankfest is over and the crowds have gone home, the volunteers don't waste any time before they dive back on the restoration. On both sides of the Atlantic, the volunteer crews dream of years to come when they will be driving their own restored Centurions.
Can you put your ear defenders on, please?
I shall.
Because I'm going to make loads of noise.
A tool with vibrating bristles removes rust.
Having stripped off the tin work and put back on the right gun, the crew is almost finished the external work. But working on weekends and evenings, they will have to repair all the internal systems and machinery. It's still a massive job. The Duxford team is years away from the finish line. But in the meantime, there's nowhere else they'd rather be.
I'm happy. Happy as a day is long when I'm here. Or anywhere on a tank, come to that. I suppose it's because I've never grown up. I learned to do this when I was a lad, and I've never grown up.